episode 22. Time runs out. Month one. Hello, time travelers. This is Matt Anderson here for a solo episode. And instead of talking about Spider-Man, as I often do, this month it is all about Avengers. So there's an event happening called Time Runs Out, which is very appropriate for our show. And we are going to be able to do some time travel into the future for this episode, which is very unusual. Usually we go back, but these two issues, I'm looking at Avengers issue number, 35. And New Avengers number 24, these have been described as Marvel as looks into the future. So it's as if we're picking up the comics off the shelves or off the spinner rack 8 months from now. And that's what happened. So between issues 23 and 24 for New Avengers and 34 and 35 for Avengers, there's an 8 month gap there. So we're seeing into the future of what is happening. And then the other titles, I'm guessing like Superior Iron Man, the new Hulk series, the new Thor series, the update with Captain America, those are going to kind of fill in the blanks of what's been happening in the world. And but we get a peek into the future with these two books. So the banners on top of each of these issues right now says in 8 months, ... time runs out. I'm guessing that next month it will say in 7 months, and it will continue to count down month after month. And I believe I heard that this all wraps up in April, and we mentioned this in a past group episode, but April is also the anniversary for a Crisis on Infinite Earth. So it looks like both DC and Marvel are heading towards April to have some sort of big event. I'm guessing, you know, DC is obviously the more likely one to have some sort of crisis event, but as you'll learn as we talk through these issues, everything that's happening in these issues revolves around this idea that the multiverse is collapsing and the focal point is Earth. And so this is going to be all spoilers here. So only listen if you aren't interested in reading right now and want to know what's going on, or if you just, you know, don't care about spoilers in general, because we're going to talk through these in full. It might not be a super long episode because I'm only looking at two issues and I'm not going to tell you every single story beat, but I just kind of want to see what's been going on. But before I get into the issues, I should say, we're in the middle of a run on Avengers by the writer Jonathan Hickman, a well-known writer. He's awesome. I loved what he did with the Fantastic Four. He created the Future Foundation, so we had those two titles going concurrently. And so when he started on with Avengers after the Marvel Now initiative started, I hadn't been reading him before that. I didn't read the Fantastic Four stuff until more recently, but I'm sure there were a lot of people interested in that because what he had set up in the Fantastic Four rolled right into his run on Avengers. And there's been this theme throughout, and I won't go into that too much right now, but it has been interesting to see over years he's been able to draw out this long story. And so, again, before we get to the Time Runs Out two issues, what's been going on in New Avengers is that the Illuminati has come back together. So the Illuminati in some Brian Michael Bendis stories was made up of a group of superheroes that decided they'd come together, sort of a secret society, and they would help maybe not cause events, but maybe direct events, and just to make sure everything is going for the greater good. So I never read these original Illuminati stories, but I believe the members were, well, actually, you know what, I'll just open up the issue here. I think it will tell me easier that way. So we've got Black Bolt from the Inhumans, Reed Richards, Tony Stark, Iron Man, Professor X, this was in the original Illuminati, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and Namor. Now, I haven't read those, so I'm guessing that that's who it was originally. So when New Avengers started, then an event happens that brings the Illuminati back together. So it's all the members I just said, but instead of Professor X, who died during a recent event called Avengers versus X-Men, instead of Professor X, we had Beast, Hank McCoy. Henry McCoy replaced him. So what was going on is Reed Richards from the Fantastic Four became aware that Earth was the focal point for some sort of collapse in the multiverse. And so what's happening is there's something called an incursion, And this incursion is two Earths bumping into each other, essentially. And this destruction then can cause a ripple effect into all the universes, or into their whole universe, and then collapse them. So what has to happen is, before the Illuminati even gets involved, there's a group of people going around, and, well, there's multiple groups going around doing different things from the multiverse, and what they have to do is destroy an Earth, or one of the two Earths that are colliding, essentially. So, again, just to be clear, when two Earths are entering the same dimensional space, one of the Earths has to be destroyed in order to end the incursion, and then that saves the entire multiverse, not just the one universe, but by these two Earths colliding and being destroyed, it just will start a ripple effect that will destroy the entire multiverse. So the Illuminati get involved, and they realize they have to start to come up with some contingency plans to stop their Earth from being destroyed, but not just for their own sake, but for the sake of the entire multiverse. So, again, this is going to be spoilers here. I won't go into every story detail, but they do come up with some plans, including building a bomb, or multiple bombs, antimatter bombs, that will blow up a whole planet. And so there's a lot of morality issues coming up where they're trying to decide what is the greater good. We're saving the entire multiverse, which includes, you know, more than billions. I mean, we're talking about an infinite number of people out there, because I believe the Marvel multiverse is infinite as opposed to the DC multiverse, which right now only has 52 different Earths. But so they're trying to decide, is it the greater good to save all these lives when you know you have to kill a whole Earth full of other humans? So that's kind of what was going on in New Avengers, and it got to the point where none of the members of the Illuminati were willing to make that sacrifice, except for Namor. And they actually did not react well to his help. I mean, it is help in a sense, even though it's also genocide. And so Namor gets kicked off of the team, essentially. And then he goes and creates his own group called the Cabal. And that is made up of mostly just supervillains. So we've got Thanos, a guy named Terax, two of Thanos's not henchmen, but people that work with them. We got Proxima Midnight. That's one of his henchmen. And then another, she's actually a female. And then I think her husband or boyfriend or something, but who also works for Thanos, named Corvus Glaive. So we have those characters, plus a multiversal character named Black Swan, who was introduced in the first issue of New Avengers, the Jonathan Hickman run. And then Maximus, who is the brother of the Inhuman Black Bolt. So that group of people, they have decided it's okay to go and kill other Earths. So for the last 8 months, now we're getting into this issue for Time Runs Out, we find out that they've been, for the last 8 months, going around and destroying other Earths to save our Earth, but then also save the multiverse. The only problem is Namor is telling somebody in this issue that they're starting to like it too much. It's not just that they're doing what has to be done, but they actually like the murder and they like the genocide. So he's getting worried, because Namor is a gray character, not necessarily really good and not necessarily really bad. But in this issue, I think some of his good comes out even more. And it's interesting to see, you know, Namor compared to the rest of the Illuminati. When you talk about Reed Richards and Black Panther, Namor comes off as a pretty big jerk and definitely more of a villain. But then when you take the same character and compare him to people like Thanos and Terax, then Namor comes off as, you know, the best guy in the group. So in this issue of New Avengers, it's Namor talking to Dr. Doom, and he's trying to recruit Dr. Doom to help him with this and help rein in these other members of the Cabal who are sort of losing it. But Dr. Doom refuses. We do find out by the end of the issue, though. Well, Dr. Doom refuses because he doesn't want to be Namor's second choice. He thinks Namor should have come to him immediately 8 months ago when this whole thing started. And so Namor goes away, but then we find out Dr. Doom's already been working on this problem, and he knows about the incursions himself, and he is also trying. He has a character named the Thinker helping him, and then also the Molecule Man is the big reveal at the end of this issue, that the Molecule Man is there to help Dr. Doom. And I've never read any issues with the Molecule Man in them before, but I've heard he is just one of the most powerful beings in the entire Marvel universe. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. It's kind of interesting to see Thanos, who's usually such a big bad, just be a member of a group doing a mission to save the universe. I mean, he is killing, but It's weird to see him team up with people for this greater good. I mean, I know it's self-preservation, but still kind of interesting. So we don't see a lot from the good guys, the Illuminati, in this issue. A little bit of Black Panther, a little tiny bit of Reed Richards, but the other characters are not in this at all. So that is issue 34. I mean, I've been following New Avengers almost since the beginning. I did have to read the first volume, but then after that, I started picking up the individual issues of that, and then Avengers took me a little bit longer, but I eventually started picking up the issues of that as well. So I'm now right now reading month by month, and I have been since probably the beginning of 2014. Jonathan Hickman once said in an interview that Avengers and New Avengers should be read side by side because they're the same story, but we're seeing two different perspectives, and that's really obvious in some of the stories I've read in the past, but even more so here now that we're in this. It's not necessarily an event, but maybe it's working towards an event. This time runs out. I guess we'll just call it an event for now. So, yeah, I mean, most of New Avengers 24 was used to show how bad the Cabal is, and then show a little bit more about, you know, where things are going when it comes to Dr. Doom's involvement in the storyline now. So if we turn over, though, to Avengers 35, I guess in Avengers, let me see what's been happening here. I mean, before we got to the Time Runs Out story, you know, 8 months ago, both Captain America and Iron Man had come together and they decided they needed more Avengers to really keep the world safe. So they just recruited a ton of people. So there was a very large Avengers team when this storyline first started with Jonathan Hickman. And when we get into, I should say there's so many characters in the Avengers that the beginning of every issue shows the entire roster of who's on the Avengers right now. And then some are more darkened and some are lit up if they're going to appear in this issue. So this issue actually doesn't feature a lot of the big players. No appearance of Captain America, no Iron Man, no Hulk. We do get a little bit of Thor, Hyperion, Ex Nihilo, Hawkeye, Captain Marvel, Nightmask, Smasher, Cannonball, Sunspot, Starbrand, Abyss, Manifold. I mean, just reading through that list, to a general public, not the really well-known characters, but if you've been reading Avengers since Jonathan Hickman started, these are all characters that have been important. At least appearing since really issue one. I won't go into too much detail about each of these characters, but I think what I want to kind of show here is that with the start of a new big story arc, this Time Runs Out, it's interesting that they are using, I'd say, more mid-level, even lower-level characters to really kick it off. I mean, they're missing an opportunity here to draw people in. Let me take a look at the cover. They have Thor, Iron Man, they have the Sam Wilson, Captain America, Hulk is on the cover, and then there is a character I honestly can't identify. Maybe it's old Captain America. Yeah, so they have all those characters on the cover, but none of them actually, or barely any of them actually appear in the issue. So just like with New Avengers, this issue, as you open it up, it does have a previously on type, you know, like if you're watching a TV show and it shows what's happened on some past episodes. They started doing that in comics, which I think is really useful. So you got previously in Avengers, and it kind of lays out some things that have been happening. Even since the very beginning, there was a narrator telling us what was going on with Avengers, and they're talking about how Avengers, let me just read this. It says, it started with two men. It started with an idea. And the two men are Tony Stark and Steve Rogers. And the idea is expansion. And I'll read on here. It says, the idea began by two men, one who was life and one who was death. But they never really say which is which. I'm guessing Iron Man's going to be the negative one here, but death, but you don't know for sure. Then as you turn the pages past the roster of which Avengers would be in this issue, there's just a big page that says 8 months later. And the same thing happened with New Avengers, where you open up that first page and it's 8 months later, and that's really setting the stage. And again, I think from Marvel's perspective, they want us to believe that these are the issues that you would pick up if you went to the store in April 2015. So that's kind of where we're flashing forward. The story opens up with some Ex Nihilo and Abyss interaction, then Sunspot and Cannonball and Manifold. But again, if you're not really familiar with these characters, I think a lot of this won't mean as much to you, because there's some surprises. Like you find out that two of the characters, Smasher, who's a female, part of the Shi'ar Empire Guardians. Her and Cannonball have been dating, and now 8 months later here, they actually have a kid. So that's a surprise, but maybe that would fall flat on a first-time reader who doesn't know these characters very well or care that they were sort of in a relationship 8 months ago. And then after that, you find out that, well, they're back to get Cannonball and ask him to come back to Earth because there's something that needs to be done, but we don't really know why he left in the first place or what needs to be done back on Earth. Then there's some stuff with Starbrand and Nightmask talking, but again, a lot of it falls flat. If you haven't been following the Avengers storyline so far, it has to do with even going back to the event from 2013 called Infinity, where there were a bunch of different people that, and it did tie in with the multiverse. I mean, really, this whole idea that the multiverse has been in jeopardy has been around since day one of Jonathan Hickman's run. And even if you look back at his Fantastic Four run, there was stuff that had to do with, I mean, heavily, there was parallel universe action happening there as well. Not quite this collapse, but there was foreshadowing that we're heading towards something where everything dies. Like I said, Starbrand, Nightmask, talking it up about stuff that we've seen, but also alluding to things that we don't understand. Hyperion is then, we see him working with AIM. Oh, one interesting thing, the character Sunspot, I have no idea how he did this, but he somehow gained control of the organization AIM, which are a group of villains. So now after we find that out, we go to the Savage Land and AIM is working with Hyperion, who is, basically a Superman analog, that exists in the Marvel Universe. And Hyperion and Thor have a little bit of an interaction. Thor seems down. He's kind of drinking his pain away, but we don't know what's been going on. I think, though, if you've been following any of the recent news for where things are going storyline-wise, Thor loses the mantle of Thor, where it's not just his name but also a title, and somebody else gains control of his magic hammer. And if you do look at the page here, he doesn't have his hammer. He has an axe instead. So Thor is sad, and it's probably because he lost all his power. Now this is where it actually starts to get good. We have found out in this issue of Avengers that S.H.I.E.L.D. is now in control of the Avengers. We don't know what happened to make that the case, but we've got a team of S.H.I.E.L.D. members chasing down Amadeus Cho. Now, again, this is a guy who actually hasn't appeared in any of these Avengers books since Jonathan Hickman started on this series. But I remember him from when he was, I think he was in some of the Incredible Hulk stories a few years back, as well as with some, with Hercules. But what you need to know about this kid, or I guess what I know about him, is that he is a super genius. I think he is possibly the smartest person in the Marvel Universe, or at least top five smartest people in the Marvel Universe. And that is something that has been a reoccurring theme when it comes to, the Illuminati. If you look at the cast of the Illuminati, these are the smartest men in the Marvel Universe. You got Tony Stark, Hank McCoy, Reed Richards, even a lot of people don't know this, but Black Panther is incredibly smart as well. Bruce Banner eventually joins up and helps them. Maximus, who had been helping them but ended up going with the Cabal, he's a really smart guy. So Amadeus Cho being a member of the Illuminati seems like a good fit, and that is what we see here. So we find out that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s trying to chase down Amadeus Cho, and it's because he's joined up with the Illuminati, which we haven't actually seen yet, but again, we're sort of being brought into this mid-action. It looks like it's Maria Hill who's leading this unit of S.H.I.E.L.D. that's chasing him down, but the three Avengers that she sends to get him, well, one's a mystery, and I'll tell you who that is at the very end, but the other two are Hawkeye and Captain Marvel, both wearing different costumes, I mean, similar to what they've worn before, but more S.H.I.E.L.D.-esque. Then there's a mystery Avenger helping out, and we don't know who it is until the last page, but basically they go through the roster of who the Illuminati are, and this is useful for readers that don't know really what's going on. All the Illuminati members put something in their hand. It's a device that will illuminate when there's an incursion happening. That way they know they need to band together and try to stop this Earth from colliding into our Earth. And we see Amadeus Cho now has one. So that clues us, the readers, in that he's in with them beyond just the commentary that he's an identified member of the Illuminati by S.H.I.E.L.D. So We've got this mysterious member of the Avengers going through all the different Illuminati members, wondering where they are. Amadeus Cho either doesn't know for some of the characters or won't give up their location. So he's asked about Tony Stark. He's asked about Bruce Banner. He's asked about Hank Pym, actually. And this is a character we haven't seen with the Illuminati thus far, but that's interesting, as well as Brian Braddock, who is Captain Britain, another character who we haven't seen with the Illuminati, but it looks like at this point, 8 months in the future, he's joined up with them. He's also asked about Doctor Strange, Beast, Black Panther, and Black Bolt. Again, he's not giving up their information, but this scene is mostly for us, the reader, to know who is now a member of the Illuminati, who's being hunted down. I guess what we can learn is, or what we can gather from this, is that at some point, those members have become enemies to the Avengers, enemies to S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, we know that they've been trying to stop the incursions, but something else bad must have happened, and we don't know what that is. Then this mystery Avenger finally asks about the last member of the Illuminati, who I haven't said yet, Reed Richards. Where is Reed Richards? Where is my husband? And as the helmet comes off, we see this S.H.I.E.L.D. / Avenger member is Sue. Well, it used to be Sue Storm, but Sue Richards. So that's where the issue ends. And that was between the two issues, between Avengers 35 and New Avengers 24. Definitely, I thought that last page of Avengers was better, just to see that Sue Richards is trying to track down her husband. I mean, we can't tell yet if she's just trying to find him, but it does kind of come off more hostile, like he's done something wrong, and she's even been brought in to track him down. So it's interesting. I like where this is going. I hope I hope things pick up in New Avengers, because that was a little bit slower, and that's typically between the two titles. New Avengers is my favorite, but yeah, both have been really good lately. I mean, like I said, I've been reading issue by issue since January of 2014, and yeah, definitely hasn't been a disappointment for this year. So good stuff happening. Kind of interesting, the New Avengers logo. It has the typical A with a circle around it, like the Avengers do, but instead of a circle, it's actually an omega sign, and that's been the logo for New Avengers since the beginning, and it really does feel like this is the end of something. I mean, maybe it's just a tease, and it's another Marvel event, and we're being tricked, but ever since the beginning, the stakes have felt high with this incursion storyline, and I'm hoping that when time runs out, it really does do something that messes with the Marvel Universe. I'm not necessarily saying I need a crisis event, just like DC has done, but if it's a crisis-like event, I wouldn't be disappointed. I'd kind of like to see how they deal with that, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see how things pan out. Still now have 7 months left until we get to April, and I'll try to cover these issues month by month. I mean, as far as I know, I'm going to be picking them up. If at some point the story gets boring and I stop, then I guess I won't be doing these episodes anymore. But that's where things are at today. Let's see. I think I was going to say one other thing about this. I guess I'll kind of end the Avengers talk there. I do want to say a few quick words about Spider-Man Noir. I had promised that I would come back with an episode about Spider-Man Noir, and I tried to track down somebody who could talk about it with me, because I thought that'd be a better conversation, but here are the facts. I've read two volumes of Spider-Man Noir, the very first one where the character was introduced, and I should have loaded up the name of this before I started recording here. Let me quickly do a Google search. The other one is something like Eyes Without a Face or something like that. Let me check this out here. Yeah, I think it is that. Yeah, we got Spider-Man Noir, Eyes Without a Face. That came out in 2009. So I read both of those short series about Spider-Man Noir. So here's the facts. I'm not going to do a whole issue, but I just want to give you some quick facts. This character is going to be appearing in the Spider-Verse storyline. I've already seen him in a few issues that I've read. Essentially, the story is set in Prohibition times, looks like post-Depression, 20s. That's where that universe takes place, and there's a bunch of Marvel heroes that become heroes in the 20s then, instead of what ended up being the 60s later. This character, it's still Peter Parker. He gets his powers more from sort of like a supernatural spider being, similar to what we saw with JMS's run, where he had that whole storyline about the Other. It's something similar to that, where this being gives Peter Parker spider powers, and then Peter Parker tries to do good when there's a world of bad guys all around. And so the reason I ended up not wanting to do an episode on it, besides the fact that I couldn't find somebody to do it with me, was just I didn't know that there'd be a lot to say about it. It's interesting. I enjoyed reading the book, but it wasn't the best thing I've ever read. I'd probably recommend it at a medium level, but I'm trying to read a lot just to get prepared for Spider-Verse as an event. I haven't really been able to see Spider-Man Noir's personality shine through in what I've read of Edge of Spider-Verse so far, but overall, I'd say I'll give it a recommend. Especially the first one was better. The second one, with the one called Eyes Without a Face, that was a little less good. But if you like that time period, kind of the 20s, and like noir stories, I think it's good. I mean, I'll say, well, let me rank it. Maybe I'll give it a 3, just kind of 3 out of 5. Middle of the road, maybe worth a check out. It was shorter. I believe they're each only 4 issues long. So, with that being said, even though I only gave it a medium rating, I'm glad this character is in the Spider-Verse storyline. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if they end up killing him in that storyline, because it's not a character that definitely we really need continued around in the Marvel universe or even in the Marvel multiverse. But, I guess we'll see where that all goes. Maybe by the end of Spider-Verse, he'll be my favorite alternate Spider-Man character, and I'll be disappointed that I just said this. But anyways, I just had to get that out there because I had promised you a Spider-Man Noir episode, and I'm sort of backing away from that promise other than just giving you this little tidbit that if you like that time in history, I think you'll like this character. If you like noir stories, I think you'll like this character. But it's not necessarily something you have to rush out and go get. So I think that's it from here. So thanks again for joining us here on the Comic Book Time Machine. You can find us at comicbooktimemachine.com. You can write us at feedback@comicbooktimemachine.com. So that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson, signing off.